Basic Bible Doctrine, Chapter 10, The Son of God, Our Saviour. Scripture, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There is one word in the Bible which in itself forms an entire library. One word which is the sum and substance of the entire Bible. One word which comprises all truth. That word is Christ. He is the uncreated, living, eternal Word, whom to know is life eternal. When chosen, redeemed sinners are brought out of darkness into light by the irresistible, regenerating grace and power of God the Holy Spirit, when Christ is revealed in the chosen vessels of mercy, when they become savingly acquainted with the divine word, they are made wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. As we are led by the Spirit in the life of faith, enabled by his grace to live upon, walk with, and rejoice in the glorious person and finished salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are brought into what the Apostle Paul describes as all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Our Lord's own statements with regard to this mystery of God, the mystery of the perfect unity and oneness of the persons in the eternal Godhead, are crystal clear. John chapter 10, verse 30. John chapter 14, verses 7 to 11. It is stated concisely but emphatically in 1 John 5, verse 7. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Scriptures also plainly state these facts. The revelation of the Holy Trinity is found in Christ alone. Christ and Christ alone is the visible Jehovah. The invisible God is seen and known only in him who is the image of the invisible God. John chapter 1, verse 18. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Robert Hawker wrote, "Our most glorious Christ, being the only visible Jehovah, is the sole executor, administrator, and efficient source of all the works and ways of God as revealed to the Church in all the departments of nature, providence, grace, and glory. And as his person is the only visible Jehovah, so his obedience is the only means of recovery from the Adam fall and transgression." Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It was never written in Scripture that if a person believes in God, or if he believes in the Holy Spirit, he is saved. It is written throughout the Word of God, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Acts chapter 16, verse 31. The fact is, no one believes God and no one has the Spirit of God except those sinners who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as he is revealed in the Scriptures as the Saviour of his people. As the all-glorious Christ is alone the embodiment and revelation of God, he is also the only Saviour of sinners. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we have the words of the angel of the Lord to Joseph concerning the incarnation, birth, and work of the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Why did Christ come? It is reasonable for anyone who reads or hears that the Son of God assumed human flesh and came into the world as a man to want to know why. Why did the Son of God come into this world? The angel's revelation to Joseph is unmistakable. God the Son came into this world for a specific purpose, to do a specific thing on a specific mission. He came to save his people from their sins. This was the Father's will, which he came to perform. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 14. John chapter 6, verse 39. This was the stipulation of the covenant which he came to fulfill. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 8. This was the commandment of God which he came to obey. John chapter 10, verses 16 to 18. My mind is lost in wonder and admiration when I think of the fact of Christ's coming into this world. Is it not astonishing to you that the Son of God would become the Son of Man? That he who created all things would become the woman's seed? That he who is Lord of all would take upon himself the form of a servant, to be despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief? That in the fullness of time he might die the painful, shameful, ignominious death of the cross in the place of guilty sinners? These things utterly astonish me. I say with Paul, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, and chapter 9, verse 15. Who is this Jesus? You have heard about Jesus all your life. Perhaps you think everyone knows who Jesus Christ is. That is a mistake. The fact is, very few people in this world know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. The Christ that is worshipped in the average church is nothing but an idolatrous figment of man's imagination, an idol, a false god carved from one of the trees in the dark forest of man's depraved mind. Our Lord himself warned us of these days, saying, "There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." So when men come to you and say, "Lo, here is Christ," or "there," believe it not. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 and verse 23. That makes this question very important. Who is this Jesus? Who is the Christ of the Bible? We must know, trust, and worship this Christ, if I would know God and be accepted of him. John chapter 17, verse 3. If we trust a false Christ, no matter how sincere we are lost under the delusion of Satan. Allow me to show you from the Scriptures who this Jesus is, of whom it is written, "He shall save his people from their sins." This Jesus is the Son of God. When the Bible speaks of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, it is declaring to us that Jesus Christ is God the Eternal Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, in every way equal with the Father and the Spirit. We who believe are the sons of God by adoption. Christ is the Son of God by nature. To say that he is the Son of God is to declare that this man, whose name is Jesus, is himself God over all, blessed forever. He is not just a God, a likeness of God, or a creature of God. Jesus Christ is God, manifest in the flesh. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. All the attributes of divinity belong to him. He is the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things, the ruler of all things, and the disposer of all things. Jesus Christ is the revelation of God. John chapter 1, verse 18. If Jesus Christ is not God, if he is anything less than Almighty God, we have no Saviour. He is an impostor, a fake, a charlatan. None but God could make atonement for our sins. That man who was born at Bethlehem, who died upon the cross, who rose again the third day, and now sits upon the throne of heaven, is God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. This Jesus, who is God Almighty, is the sinner's substitute. He is the day's man, the surety, the representative, the mediator, the substitute, by whose obedience sinners are reconciled to God, without whom we could never be accepted by God. The key to understanding the book of God is to understand the gospel doctrine of substitution. When I say that Jesus Christ is the sinner's substitute, I mean that he stood before God as the substitute for his people before the world began, as the Lamb slain. Revelation 13, verse 8. He is our eternal mediator, in whom we were from everlasting blessed with all spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The Lord Jesus Christ is the surety of the everlasting covenant, in whom God's elect were given grace and salvation before time began. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. He lived in obedience to God as our substitute in this world to fulfill all righteousness on our behalf. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. He died under the wrath of God as the substitute in the place of his people upon the cross. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. He intercedes for us today as an advocate in heaven. 1 John chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. As our substitute before the throne of grace. 1 John chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. And he will stand before God in the last day as our substitute, as at the bar of justice, as the ground of eternal salvation. Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 6. Be sure you understand this. If Jesus Christ is indeed God, and he is, then all that he has undertaken to do as our substitute must be effectually and completely accomplished by his own omnipotent arm. Those whom he came to redeem are redeemed. Those whom he undertook to justify are justified. All those whom he undertook to save must be saved. It is written, he shall save his people from their sins. He shall not fail, Isaiah 42 verse 4. This Jesus, the Christ of the Bible, who is Almighty God, is the Saviour of his people. Christ alone is our Saviour. He is our complete salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. Colossians chapter 2 verse 10. This Christ is the effectual Saviour of his people. Furthermore, this Jesus, who is God, in order that he might save his people, is the sovereign monarch of the universe. John chapter 17 verse 2. Without question, he is the monarch of all things by virtue of his eternal Godhead. Yet he has been given this place of dominion as a man, as the reward of his obedience to God as our mediator. Acts chapter 5 verse 31. Romans chapter 14 verse 9. Do you understand who Jesus Christ is? He is the Son of God. He is the sinner's only all-sufficient effectual substitute. He is the Saviour of his people. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sovereign monarch of the universe. If the Christ you worship is not this Christ, your Christ is a false Christ, nothing but the idolatrous figment of your imagination. Who are his people? Who are those people the Bible says Christ shall save? Those people he came to save were his people long before he came to save them. The angel said, he shall save his people. He did not say, he shall save those people who shall be his people. Whoever his people are, they were his people before he saved them, and they were his people before he came to save them. Psalm 110 verse 3. John chapter 10 verse 16. All men naturally think that Christ came to save everyone in the world. All men think that Christ died for everyone in the world. That is not the doctrine of the Scriptures. What does the Word of God say? This is our standard. If a man does not speak according to the words of Holy Scripture, it is because there is no light in him. Those who declare that Christ died to save everybody in the world do not have one ray of spiritual light in them. To teach such a doctrine is to deny the very deity of Christ. I realize that many object to such dogmatism. Many who would not hesitate to say that those liberals are complete heretics who deny Christ's incarnation, his virgin birth, his perfect holiness, his vicarious atonement, his resurrection from the dead, object vehemently to saying the same thing about those who deny the glorious efficacy of his atonement. I make no apology for such a declaration. Christ's sin-atoning work is the very heart of the gospel. To deny the efficacy of his sacrifice is to deny he is God. He cannot be God if he fails to do what he came to do. Isaiah 42 verse 4. If his love can be changed to wrath, Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. If his blood does not fully satisfy divine justice and effectually redeem every sinner for whom it was shed, Isaiah 53 9 to 12, Romans 3 24 to 26, Hebrews 9 verse 12. The Son of God did not come to save all people. He came to save his people, his peculiar people. Who are his people? They are his seed, Isaiah 53, verses 10 to 12. They are his sheep, John 10, verse 11. verse 15, verse 26. They are his chosen bride, the church, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 27. They are his elect, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. His people are those whom God the Father chose in him before the foundation of the world, whom he loved with an everlasting love, whom he predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 31. These are the people for whom the Son of God lived, died, and rose again. Those who teach that he came to save all men, that he lived, died, and rose again for all men, blaspheme God in the doctrine they preach. Their doctrine makes the love of God a useless, helpless, fickle passion, the justice of God a mockery, the immutability of God a meaningless notion, and the will of God insignificant. How does Christ save? How does the Lord Jesus Christ save his people? Whoever his people are, they shall be saved from their sins. That fact cannot be disputed. It is Christ who saves us. We do not save ourselves or contribute anything in the work of salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. How does he do it? Here are three distinct and distinguishing works of grace by which Christ saves his people from their sins. Number one, redemption. He has saved us from the penalty of our sins by the particular, effectual redemption of our souls from the curse of God's holy law. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. This is how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 3. He died in the room and stead of God's elect as a voluntary, vicarious, victorious sin-atoning sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 5 to 14. Isaiah 53 verses 4 to 6. John chapter 10 verses 16 to 18. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 to 3 and chapter 9 verse 12 and verse 26. Number 2, regeneration. Christ saves his people from the power of their sins by the power of his Spirit in sovereign effectual regeneration. John chapter 5 verse 25, Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 to 5, Psalm 65 verse 4. As he raised Lazarus from the dead, so he raises his people from spiritual death to spiritual life by the omnipotence of his saving grace. John 5 verse 25. The Lord Jesus saves his people from their sins by making his people righteous before God. In justification, the righteous obedience of Christ is imputed to us, just as our sins were imputed to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. In sanctification, his righteous nature is imparted to us. Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 and 23. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 verses 5 to 10. And number 3, resurrection. The Son of God shall save his people from the presence and the consequences of their sins in the resurrection of the just. John chapter 5 verse 28. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 13 to 18. There shall be a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. The wicked shall be raised to suffer the consequences of their sins, but the righteous shall be raised to be forever freed from the consequences of their sins. Upon what grounds may a sinner have confidence that he is one of his people? There is only one answer, and only one, to that question. If you trust the Christ of God as your only Lord and Saviour, you are one of his people. He chose you, he redeemed you, he has called you, and given you the gift of eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 to 13.